This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
This is a best-of broadcast of The Truman Show with today's guest, Jimmy C. Newman.
We're going to have Mr. Jimmy C. Newman, who is a legend at the Grand Ole Opry. And how do we do that?
Hey, okay. You know how that really got started? Two Cajuns were lost, and they were trying to locate each other. One of them was started hollering that, and the other one answered him back, and that's why I always say they were both lost, and that's what it meant. They were both lost, so that they found out where they were not side by each. They were far apart, you know. They could hear each other.
You know, I was thinking about down there where you were from, mm-hmm. Big Mamou. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I was watching a movie last night, Brigadoon, and I started to think about Cajun country. Why, I don't know, because it seems like it's a place in itself.
It used to be, really and truly, because of the language. It really, it's Americanized a lot. I shouldn't say it like that, mm-hmm. but I'll tell you why I said this in a minute. Mm-hmm. But back then, when it was mainly the French language, Cajun French language, you know, everybody spoke it, the kids, the blacks, everybody spoke it. Uh-huh. But I say this because my daddy used to say, when there were some Cajuns visiting, and a new guy come into town, who is that guy? One of them would say, I don't know. He's an American. You know, he didn't speak French. That's why they call him American, as if we weren't. You know.
You know, I have known a lot of Cajuns in my time.
I'm sure, especially in your business.
Yeah, you know? in my business, and I think they are by far some of the most interesting people I've ever met. and if you can get past the language and understand what they're saying,
I know.
and it's funny because they're still that way. They still speak the old language down in that area.
The young, we're losing it. The young ones did not. One reason why, like my son Gary, when he was growing, and of course I've been here almost 55 years, mm-hmm. but it was a style back then. You did not don't try to teach the kid to speak French. Of course, we were not supposed to when I went to school. That was a long time ago. But don't teach the kid to speak French because he might understand what the adults are talking about. This is true.
That's interesting.
Didn't want him to learn French because we could talk about things that they didn't know what we were talking about.
Now, is that a pure French language? Or?
Well, it's a slang. We call it in French a patois. It's a slang from the real French. But then my father had been educated in real French. It's not a lot different. When I go to Europe or French Canada and all that, I have no problem. Quebec is another place with a slang that's hard to understand. But mm-hmm. France, I've never had any problem visiting with other people. I was raised with the language, you know, bilingual.
Mm-hmm. Now, Big Mamou is just the sound.
Yeah,
of it.
Well, I'm going to tell you how that came about. It was originally Mamou all the time we were growing up. Uh-huh. There was a song called Grand Mamou, which means Big Mamou. Uh-huh. In the early 50s, it was taken out of the Cajun context. Is that a proper word? Mm-hmm. Anyhow, it was changed to Big Mamou in English. Mm-hmm. They did it in English. So so instead of saying Mamou, and I'm guilty of that a lot, I always say Big Mamou. Because then I started singing from Grand Mamou, which used to be all French, which I used to sing, and still do occasionally. I do the Big Mamou, like I did it last week, two nights ago at the opera, in fact, Tuesday night. Well, it's Big Mamou now, so they promote it as Big Mamou. But originally it was just Mamou. Supposedly it comes from an old Indian name. Legend to that, you know.
Your biggest critic is listening to you today, and you told her 1450 a.m., but you and May live a little bit further out than I do, and I actually pick it up better at 100.5 FM.
Oh, on the F and M.
Yeah, yeah, F and M.
Yeah, so May, you can try the FM radio then on 100. There is an Cajun thing going here on your that says 100.5, uh-huh. And mine over here, it says 101.9.
So, I think they both work.
Try either one.
Yeah, try either one.
They're close. They're side by each on the dial.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as long as you're on here, they should be able to pick it up on any radio station. Because, I mean, if there ever was a legend at the Grand Ole Opry, 55 years at the Grand Ole.
55 years, I've survived.
I wonder how many artists have actually lasted that long on the Grand Ole Opry.
Gene, I don't know in the older acts, because, you know, I came here 55. Well, no, it had to be not just a few. But Gene Shepherd came here the year before I did. Mm-hmm. Now, Jimmy Dickens been here since 38, I think. But he took a long leave of absence.
He did. Why did he do that? I remember that.
Let's not discuss it on
Okay, yet. We won't. Okay. But I remember that he was there and then he was gone for
a while. Yeah, all of this big change happened just right after I got here. And I had this chance to go on that caravan too, and I didn't. I said, no, I'm staying here.
Did you know that I got to listen to you when I was in the service? And they let us have radios, and I could only pick up one station, and that was the Clear Channel in Nashville, Grand Ole Opry.
Where were you stationed?
And I was down in your country.
Oh, not at Fort Polk.
Fort Polk, Louisiana.
Oh, boy.
And you're talking about in the boondocks. So yeah. I have a little bit of knowledge of where you came from.
Oh, boy. And so you're the one, you're probably the one that I thought bad about when I drive 200 miles to Shreveport to do the Louisiana Hayride because the maneuvers were going on and it was a two-lane road and we couldn't make any time because of the maneuvers, you know.
We were actually, when you're in Louisiana in that area, it's like going to a foreign country. So we were actually the ugly Americans down there at that time.
But the thing about it is you were above Cajun country, so if you talk to people in the country at that time, they spoke English. They were a lot like the Tennesseans, just not far from where I was raised, north. They were very much like Americanized. They were natural. They had been raised different. They weren't then not a lot of Thibodeaux or Fontenot or Boudreaux.
The people that listen, I'm going to put out one little trivia question, and that is, what does the C stand for in WC? you know what I'm talking about, Jimmy C. Newman. Wow. I won't see if anybody knows what the C stands for. I know what it stands for.
Okay, we won't tell them that.
All right. Now, you got kind of started in music fairly early.
1946.
In 1946, and you weren't very old back then either. Well, I'm not going to tell anybody how old you were back then.
As Johnny Russell said, not yet. Yeah.
but back then, I guess it was pretty hard to get into the music business. There weren't too many outlets. I mean, you had you talked about the Louisiana Hayride, which is pretty big. A lot of people don't understand, but it was actually in competition with the Grand Ole Opry.
With that trying, it was a big competition. Yeah, it was because, Hank got his start over there, Hank Williams,
Now a lot of people don't understand that.
Yeah, and then he had problems, so he'd come here a while and go back over there a while. But there were a lot of big artists that became. Jim Reeves got his start over there.
That's amazing.
And of course, I got my start in 1954 with Randy Wood's label. Randy was in Gallatin here. I saw his picture in the hallway, so I brought it up with Dot Records with Cry Cry Darling. Then.
Which is your first big hit?
Yeah, it was my signature song. Then Johnny Horton was on the Louisiana Hayride, who had Battle of New Orleans.
Oh, yes, that was his
and
big one.
And he had that after I moved, but they were big hits. Then Slim Whitman was a big artist, too. and a lot of others. Well, Farron Young had been there. Webb Pierce had been there. They came here both in the early 50s. And John and Jack and Kitty, I think, had been over there too, Kitty Wells.
What was the big draw in Nashville that you didn't have down in Shreveport and in Louisiana? Was Nashville starting to grow at that time and to be in the music center?
Yeah, it was. It was. At that time, it was growing big. Such big artists. This was the place. It was the place.
Now, what was the...
And that's what we all wanted to come... We wanted to come here.
Was the cathedral right there at the corner of 5th and Commerce at that time?
That I can't answer.
The Grand Ole Opry House?
Oh, the...
That's what
the
I always
Ryman
called...
You, yeah,
the
Ryman.
The Ryman. I always call that the cathedral of country music.
The mother church of country music.
Yeah, right.
I hadn't heard of the cathedral. No, it had been there since... it was built during riverboat man that had built it for a church.
Mm-hmm, it was.
Then that was back in the 1800s, wasn't it? Late 1800s.
I think that's right. Mm-hmm. But how in the world could the acoustics be perfect in a place like that? But they are. I've heard artists say that the sound there was better than almost any place they'd ever sung.
Yeah, it's... I think maybe the most of it at the time, at least, was wood. You know, the ceilings and the walls were wood and dried, seasoned lumber. Mm-hmm. It's possible, you know.
Now, when you went to Nashville, you met a certain person that you were trying to get started, and he.
For joining the opera, I got to hear. Through friends, friends and new friends here.
And getting on to the Opry was not an easy task because there were a lot of artists back then.
It had such a reputation of being the place that it wasn't easy to even be a guest. Mm-hmm. And for many years after that, I didn't see many people guesting because, we had a large cast.
You had an unusual entertainment style coming from Cajun country.
Yeah, I didn't know.
and that was hard. Just the language itself.
Well, the thing about it is my career was at the beginning mainly country music. Mm-hmm. And I had done country music since I had started in 46. But we always, if you had a band in South Louisiana and couldn't do Jolie Blonde and Grand Mamou, Grand Mamou was before Big Mamou, and other Cajun songs, you could not succeed. Nobody did unless they had at least a fiddle player and a singer that could do some Cajun music too, because that was a must, because Cajuns love to dance and they like to do the two-step, which... The two-step we called was an up-tempo like Alligator Man. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the two-step they called Texas-style two-step. And or a waltz, as the Cajun would say. The Cajun man, when he's doing a waltz, can get more closer to his partner, dancing partner, on a waltz. Two-step, too much jumping up and down.
Now, Cajun music had a style in itself. Now... Country music seems to be a mixture of different styles that crosses over.
Let me tell you about, if I may, about when I started playing until probably the early 50s. It was all called hillbilly music.
Mm-hmm. It was.
A very, very popular DJ in Dallas had the Hillbilly Hayride. He played country music. Consequently... when we talked about Cajun music, we called it French music then because we sang them all in French. Mm-hmm. They were all done in French, the songs that the old Cajuns had been raised to hear, and that's what they wanted to hear and dance to. Mm-hmm. But as far as bluegrass, which I loved when I first started, it was part of hillbilly music, country music today. Mm-hmm. It was all the same. There was no difference. I think Bill Monroe played a big part, not only him, but whoever renamed that style the bluegrass style because he was from Kentucky. Probably someone listening right now would know who started bluegrass music, the term, you know. That's like Cajun music. I've been here for many, 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 many years.
I wish my brain was still working as well as it used to because I saw an article on bluegrass music about 3 weeks ago on, I think it was the public broadcast channel.
Mm-hmm.
And it did start out of Kentucky, and it started because of the number of individuals in Kentucky that were playing that special type of music.
I think Kentucky was known as a bluegrass state,
it
too.
Was. Wasn't it? Right, yeah. Right.
Yeah, sure. I would think and there's a good chance that Bill Monroe is very responsible. We look at him as being responsible for bluegrass music. Of course, it was here before him, but that was a long time ago because he'd been, like I say, when I came to the opera, he'd been here for years.
Your first big, big song, Cry,
mm-hmm.
Cry, Darling,
mm-hmm.
Was that before or after you became a member of the Grand Ole Opry?
Cry, Cry, Darling was the reason why I became a member. It
okay.
was out in 54.
Because you usually have to have something on, in your pocket to be able to get on the Grand Ole Opry.
Well,
I mean, that was even Elvis Presley couldn't get on the Grand Ole Opry. I mean,
Elvis, as I heard, did an appearance, and he mm-hmm. was a little bit too different, and so
yeah, yeah.
But with help, with Cry, Cry, Darling, and help from friends. You know, this is a crazy business in a way. I shouldn't say it like that.
In a lot of ways.
As you know, like Ventura.
Right, right. You got to be crazy to go in there.
But the thing about it is, you will not get anywhere without representation.
Mm-hmm.
It's bigger today than ever
mm-hmm.
with the young artists.
Mm-hmm.
Like Chris Young here, what a great young artist
He's
from
great
here.
Great talent.
I pulled for him for so long and looked like
I knew
it wasn't going to work, and now he's going full blast. Isn't
yeah.
that great?
Oh, it is.
But he had representation.
Uh-huh.
It takes representation. That's how I got here. And then when you're young, you do things you don't know can't be done.
Mm-hmm.
You don't
of course.
So,
you don't even know what chances are when you're
put
young.
Put your head down and go.
And people follow your career. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. You came out of the Cajun background,
yeah.
And then you worked your way into the mainstream of country music, and it's just... It's marvelous, but still your signature is still what you were.
Yeah,
you haven't
it
changed.
It is. Yeah, you have to admit that's what it is. Your signature song, for instance, mm-hmm. like Cry, Cry, Darling. But, and then, too, I had two careers, fortunately, and country music has changed so much,
mm-hmm.
but
it
before it changed that much, it had already changed. Because I helped it change with Fallen Star and the Jordanaires and that sound.
Mm-hmm.
Elvis changed the whole thing around when he came out.
It
was not traditional country anymore. It was, but if you were to be successful, you use the Jordanaires, the voices, and mm-hmm. that type of song. What happened with me, whenever the label didn't want to record me anymore because of my age, which is about 1970, in the mid-70s.
When you're about 40?
Pardon?
When you're about 40 years old.
Yeah. So what happened is I said I got another card to play here. So I formed the Cajun band
mm-hmm.
with the help of my son and Bessel mm-hmm. Duyon here, who lives here now,
mm-hmm.
my accordion player.
Mm-hmm.
And that worked for me, and we went places we had never been or would have never been in Europe, for instance. It caught on over there for mm-hmm. us. So I had two careers. I was very fortunate.
We're very fortunate that you've had two careers.
Well, that's nice of you.
No, and I don't want to go any further unless I mention somebody that we both know really, really well, or knew really well. And that's Charles Snoddy. And I do want to say hey to Jean.
Yes, by all means.
Because I bet she's listening today.
Yeah, I know she is. Without knowing, I know she is because she thinks a lot of her cousin, and that's Truman Jones.
Well, she's sweet.
She always did. But Charles nodded. I miss him so much. He was special. He was a good. He liked a Cajun. He was a good time guy. He always enjoyed life, and there was nothing dull around with Charles. We wrote some good songs together. He was a good lyricist.
I know there's a ton of people from Rutherford County that remember Charles really, really well.
Yeah.
Because if you were ever around him, you never forgot him. and I know that you were great, great friends.
Oh,
I know
yeah.
that you're still close to Gene and all that.
Yeah, I miss Charlie very, very much. And Glenn is still living here, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, his brother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't see Glenn often anymore. I saw my cousin.
Well, how can you? You're farming on almost 700 acres.
Well, there's a lot of hills. It sounds like that, but there's a lot of hills that takes care. I don't have to be on the tractor that much. But I
don't know. Every time I call May, you're out there on the tractor.
Well, maybe I'll find me a good retired farmer to come help me over there sometime. I didn't look about 3 years ago. Almost 3 years ago, the gentleman that was with me for so many years passed away, and well, he was good. He was so good.
Well, you know, you still got Charlie Thomas out there.
Pardon me?
You still have Charles Thomas out there.
Yeah, Charles and Wayne, yeah.
Yeah, I know that they're still doing that.
yeah, they are. And, of course, Jake Jacobs, a neighbor of mine, too. Mm-hmm. In fact, they're cutting hay over there on our place right now.
Good day for it. I mean,
yeah, it is. It's time to cut it. Otherwise, we'll be cutting trees. It'll be stalks and everything. We got slowed down because of the weather, but they're in it now, and I appreciate that.
Tell me about your days on the Grand Ole Opry. Tell me about some of the interesting people and how much you enjoyed singing there. Because to me, that's the perfect setting for an artist to perform.
Yeah, and the thing about it, we were young then, and there was no air conditioning at the Ryman, mm-hmm. but Tootsie was right next door.
Right. I knew we wouldn't go long without mentioning that.
you're ahead of me. Or you're right there with me on that. So, see, we had no room, no backstage mm-hmm. to between shows.
Mm-hmm.
So, or very little, as Grandpa John would have said, very little, if any. But it was a very small area, so we'd go somewhere else. And Tootsie, and of course, when Acuff Roy, and he opened up, he had a place there where we could go to, where he and the boys would go. What was it? It was a store. It wasn't a store. I can't remember exactly what it was. But anyhow,
I wasn't privy to that, so I don't know.
Yeah, so it was just so different from now because without air conditioning made a big difference in the summer. In the wintertime, we didn't care if it was cold.
It seemed like it took on a different atmosphere. Say in the 60s and in the 70s, you had a lot of artists in the Grand Ole Opry that started to go toward more of the popular music rather than the country, although it still had a sense of it.
That's where Elvis had made the difference. Mm-hmm. You had to do something to stay on a label. You had to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
Elvis just changed his music business. Unbelievable, and people may not realize it. When we were on the hayride together, you know, he came there and we didn't know what was going on. A guy with two side men, three mm-hmm. people, knocked the crowd out.
Mm-hmm.
We had never seen or heard anything of that. We were a big Bob Wills fan in Western Swing and real country, you know. And we'd listen to him a little bit. I don't know if that'll last, we would say. The biggest name we'll ever see. And that's how it was so different. Changed the music a lot. That's when I had Cry Cry Darling and at that time.
Which is a great song.
But
and we're going to hear that one later.
But people were wanting other type of music too. And so it gradually changed. I did Fallen Star with the voices, as mm-hmm. I mentioned before. And it kept on changing. And it changes all the time. Now, my son in Louisiana tells me that a lot of the college boys and girls are wanting to hear the real thing again because they can't hear the real,
I'm with them.
The real country, you know. Mm-hmm. So,
And there's just something about country music, and you know, there's names that go with that that will be here forever, and you're one of the names.
Well, not big like some of them.
Oh, yes, you were, too.
I appreciate that.
Don't get shy on me.
I appreciate it.
He's turning red on me.
Not easy for me to not say the sheriff, you know. I want to say the sheriff.
we'll take a quick break, and then we'll resume this argument.
Mosquitoes are buzzing round my head, Spanish moss for my bed. Seldom see dry land, I'm an alligator man.
You're listening to a best of The Truman Show. Today's guest, Jimmy C. Newman.
I'm gone. See the bells from Bayou Shenandoah, this alligator man.
This is Truman Jones. Let me take just a minute to tell you about my friends down the road in Shevaville at Pirtle and Howerton Automotive. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, Pirtle and Howerton is the place to go. Ford, Mercury, Chevrolet, Buick, or GMC. You can find anything you need at Pirtle and Howerton Automotive in Shevaville. They take pride in the vehicles they sell and strive to succeed in great customer experience and satisfaction. Whether you are looking for a new or used, their friendly and knowledgeable staff are eager to assist you in your car buying process. You can check out their extensive inventory at PearlHowerton.com.
That's Pirtle and Howerton Automotive, 2006 North Main in Shelbyville. Don't let a 20-minute drive cost you thousands of dollars. Go by, see them today, or give them a call, 1-800-264-6800. Or online at PirtleHowerton.com.
Are you thinking about retirement living for yourself or a loved one? Think Adams Place in Murfreesboro. Retirement and assisted living, rehabilitation, and long-term care are available on their picturesque campus. Think it's too expensive? Think again. Adams Place Assisted Living starts as low as $100 a day. If you need a vacation, take advantage of Assisted Living's respite care for your loved one. Adams Place Retirement Community in Murfreesboro. Senior living at its finest.
Hello, this is Jim Bryan at First Bank.
And I'm Chuck Lewis. First Bank presents Good Neighbor Events, news of what our local schools, churches, and community groups are doing.
It's Wednesday, and on hot days, check on your senior citizen loved ones and family who are alone and ill. Fans and air conditioners definitely do save lives. If you need one, call Dwight Ogleton at the Cool Aid Program, 818-2459. And if you'd like to reach out and help someone, make a check out to Cool Aid and take it by First Bank on Memorial. Well, the Red Cross is having a blood drive tomorrow from 9 in the morning until 6 in the evening. This is at the new Red Cross office here in town, 501 Memorial, the former Chamber of Commerce building. They also accept aspheresis blood donations from 9 in the morning until 4:45. And the seventh year of Grandma's Camp begins this coming Friday. You've heard Marty Corelli-Gilbert on the radio telling about Grandma's Camp. You need to be a part of that and create some dreams that'll last a lifetime between grandparents and their grandchildren. This year it's over at Camp Marymount in Fairview, Tennessee. For information, call 631-6268. That's 631-6268. Auditions tomorrow night from 7 until 9 at the Lamplighters Theater in Smyrna. This is for the production of The Boy Next Door that runs October 21st through the 30th. And they have roles for persons age 18 plus. If you can't make it to the auditions Thursday night, you have another chance on Saturday morning from 9 to 11. The Lamplighters Theater is at the Springhouse Worship and Arts Center at 14119 the Old Nashville Highway. Now remember to get those Good Neighbor events to us at least 2 weeks before they occur. Good Neighbor Events brought to you by First Bank.
Weather Eye.
Sunny to partly cloudy this afternoon, high in the low 90s. Tonight, increasing clouds, low near 69. Thursday, slight chance of a shower or storm. I'm WGNS meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now it's 90.
If you're sick, you don't go to a vet.
So let a mechanic change your oil.
This is Amy at Todd's Complete Auto Care on Southeast Broad.
Radio listeners get a standard oil change and full service for only
$24.95. This is Shelby. Come and see me today.
We're on Southeast Broad across from the Discovery Center.
The local conversation continues now on The Truman Show. Once again, here's Truman Jones.
This is a best of The Truman Show. Today's guest, Opry star Jimmy C. Newman.
Sausage and biscuits, gravy and grits, home ground, homemade, it'll get you fits. Blueberry pancakes and corn cakes too, I'm a-licking my lips, now how about you? Readable meal. I said, get yourself to the Readable meal.
Readable meal at 5418 Murfreesboro Road in Readable, Tennessee. You can reach them at 563-6455 or www.readablemeal.com. In about 10-15 minutes down John Bragg Highway, you hit the where Cripple Creek is on the right, you turn left, and it's about a 2 mile drive down to the mill. It's about 200 years old, Jimmy. And Tom Brady rebuilt it, rehabbed it, and it's a fully running mill. And at 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. every Saturday, you can go there and have the best breakfast that you've ever eaten. And you get to listen to John Blankenship. And I know probably you need to go over there and give John a few pointers. He's pretty good. But you got Avett Lane and Ken Frizzell and Sarah Frizzell and Billy Yearwood, and they really are a great band. I mean they are, but somebody of your expertise, you could probably improve them a little
bit. That would go over big, I'm sure.
I'm sure they would love it.
I bet. But I think I'm sure I know some of the guys.
Do you?
I think I do.
You know just about every musician around here.
By side, but yeah. Not my name.
I think we have a caller on the line, and we're going to have to put our mic on, our ears on,
so we
can hear them. So, caller, welcome aboard with Mr. Jimmy C. Newman.
Well, I've been with Jimmy C. quite a bit. This is Ray Frost.
Oh, yeah. Ray, it's great to hear your voice. I was planning to mention you and John, but we hadn't gotten to it yet. That's true. And thank you for calling. It's great to hear your voice.
And that is true. We were talking about you when we were off the air.
Yeah. Yeah, when we're off the electric radio, we're talking about it. You doing all right?
I am just doing fine, Jimmy. Doing fine. Think about you a lot. We had a lot
of fun together.
We need to go out get some crappie.
Yeah, I'm not much of a fisherman. Every year he'd invite me for a crappie fishing trip. And I told him, I said, I'm not much of a fisherman. Why don't you just go ahead
being from where you are, you usually just wade out into the water and catch what you need.
I've seen that happen.
Or use a net.
I saw that happen. The noodling, they call it.
Yeah.
Go in the bayou.
Yeah.
And the Cajuns happen to know if it's a fish or a snake because they rub it on the back to see if there's any fins. And if they don't got no fins and it's smooth too long, you leave them alone. But, Ray, it's great to hear your voice. Thank you for calling. Give me a ring sometime. We'll get together.
I will do it. Looking forward to it.
Say hi to the family for me.
Oh, it's nice to have friends everywhere you go.
If you don't, true.
You know, you and I have talked about this a number of times, and we'll get off music just for a little bit and go back to the Cajun country. You have talked to me a number of times about being away from home, which you still consider Louisiana.
The culture, you can't help but say back home.
Yeah,
and that sort of
thing. But you have remained here because you're part of this community. I actually think this is your home.
The man that Bob Whitaker used to be a Grand Ole Opry manager just before Pete Fisher took over, and Gaylord, he was still with Gaylord was still owning him when Bob left. He brought this to my attention. I was talking about, but I hated it. Didn't think I wanted to go back to Louisiana to live. He said, Jimmy, I said, you don't realize it. This is your home.
Mm-hmm.
And he spoke with a lot of truth that I realized. The only thing this Cajun never got used to It's, wow, the winter is so long.
I'm with
boy,
you.
We had a long one this
now,
year.
Now, wait a minute, big boy. When I was at Fort Polk, Louisiana, I was so tickled to go down there for basic training because it's in the middle of the winter. It's January.
Yeah, it's a bad winter.
I was down there, and we were on bivouac for a week. I didn't see anything but snow and icicles the whole
really?
Time I was. Oh, yes.
Well,
yes.
You were a little farther west than us. That's why. That's
yeah,
why.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit out of Cajun country. That's why.
I would actually eat my eggs, which were probably about 20 degrees at that time,
okay.
with icicles hanging off my steel pot while I was eating.
And that what year was that?
That was in 1964. January
well,
64.
Well, I've been gone from there. We didn't have those type winters when I lived there. But, yeah, this was a, well, I left in 56. But, and they talked about hurricanes. We, we didn't hear about hurricanes. We didn't have that then.
And that's an awful thing that happened down there.
The year I left, after I left, Hurricane Audrey hit, 1957, it hit. But us Cajuns would call it cyclones in French, an ouragan, a storm. Possibly there was some. Well, I know there had been some, but growing up, that we didn't have them. I was inland, too, if you remember, where Fort Polk was inland quite
a
bit.
Oh, yes, it was. You know. Mm-hmm. Hey, when you were down there, did you go out on those little skiffs, those little boats, when you would go fishing or maybe looking for shrimp or alligators? Did you ever go looking for alligators?
They never did go looking for alligators.
Because I know you're the alligator man.
Yeah, but that was for commercial purposes, that song. Yeah, that was, I watch that movie, that TV show sometimes, I watch it and I see those guys. Golly, they must have had a lot of haddock call in them to be going out there and playing with those alligators. That's a dangerous game. We didn't pay a lot of attention to alligators because we did not. I was not a fisherman, for one thing. And we always worried about the snakes. You hear about the Cajun that one of them little...
is this Boudreaux or Thibodeau?
No, this was just another Cajun.
Oh, okay.
The snake, and of course, while you're fishing, sometimes a cottonmouth will hang from a tree, you know, a limb.
Yeah, they do it around here.
And he'll fall in the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe he won't fall in the boat. Mm-hmm. Well, he had his shotgun, he was hunting ducks, and he had his shotgun, and he was scared of snakes, and he shot that snake, and down went the boat and the Cajun and the snake. He shot a hole in his boat.
That sounds like one of my riding partners that shot a hole in our car.
Oh.
Mr. Avant Lane, matter of fact, who plays the bass guitar.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
It actually happened. Now, why is it poor old Boudreaux and Thibodeau that always ends up in a mess?
Well, you know, we got to blame somebody, so we give them a name, you know.
Yeah.
Like Boudreaux said, Thibodeau said, Boudreaux, I got a good joke on you, yeah. And Thibodeau said, what you talk about? You got a good joke on me. He said, yeah, I passed on the front of your house last night. You leave the shade up in the living room. He said, I see, and they're kissing the old lady. Boudreaux said, well, the joke's on you. I'm not even home last night.
You know John Stanford.
Oh, boy. I just hadn't seen him in a long time. And this week we were at... the same doctor we were visiting, I had to go and get a blood test, a blood check on my Coumadin situation. But anyhow, there he was, and I hadn't seen him in a good while. He was raised not far from me.
You know, we need to get you and him together one day on my radio show.
Okay.
And then I'll sit back and drink a cup of coffee while you guys are up here, because it would be an absolute treat. I mean, I can't be around either one of you without tears start coming in my eyes with all these crazy things you guys have
done. He's been here so long. He's been here more longer than me.
He's been here a long time.
Yeah. He's been here.
Yeah, I think MTSU was the big draw for him back then.
He was a good coach at baseball.
Yeah, he coached just about everything before he left here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's got that sense of humor, though.
He does. He's got that.
He's got that big smile. And
oh, yeah, yeah. And when he starts that little smirk, you know something has happened to either Boudreaux or Thibodeau.
Yeah. Boudreaux had a problem with Clarence, a wide, wide bayou. It was real wide, and they didn't like each other, and they'd throw each other, they'd insult each other from one side to the other, and it kept on. And Boudreaux told his wife, said, "Boy, if I could get that Clarence, I'd fix him. I'd really whip him good, too, if only I could." And it come around in a few months. The governor had a big bridge built right over the bayou. So Boudreaux's wife told him, said, "Okay, you want to whip Clarence? You say you want to whip Clarence? Look the bridge. You can go over there." Boudreaux said, "Well, I'm going, and I'm going now, too. I'm not going to wait." She said he took off and came right back. And she told him, said, "Boudreaux, how come you come right back? You say you're going to go whip Clarence over there across the bayou." He said, "I get over there at the bridge, and right on top of the bridge, I said, Clarence, 11 foot 2 inches. I said, I didn't know that Cajun was that big." Oh, boy, that's another... Les Leverett, who used to be a photographer with WSM, sent me that one. I had not heard that one. I heard so many Boudreaux, Thibodeau and Boudreaux.
Do they actually have the Boudreaux and Thibodeau jokes down there? Do they
yeah,
actually
yeah,
tell
my
those?
Son, my son would call me and tell me he'd heard a new Thibodeau and Boudreaux joke, you know.
That's amazing.
And Fontenot, where I was raised, my daddy used to say, and Mamu said, when you walk down the street, said, Fontenot and Guiry, there was a common name in French, Guiry in French. He said, when you walk down the street, when you meet one of them, you always say, it's either going to be a Fontenot or a Guiry. When you meet him down the street, you say hi to him. So he said, he did that, this kid. He said, he walked down the street, he meet Fontenot. He said, "Hi, Mr. Fontenot, how are you doing?" He said, "That's not my name." "Oh," he said, "excuse me, Mr. Guiry." And Mr. Fontenot, this really happened. He opened another Fontenot, a younger Fontenot. He opened a big, big place where you raise little chicks, you know, a hatchery. A hatchery. And he had Fontenot's hatchery right on top of the building. And this outsider came, he wasn't from Louisiana. He happened to drive through. And he looked at the phone book, and he saw so many Fontenots in the phone book. And he saw the Fontenot hatchery. And he said, "Doggone," he said, "now I know why there's so many Fontenots over here in South Louisiana. They got a Fontenot hatchery." I love that Coach Stanford is listening to all this.
He usually does.
By the way, my closest, best neighbors are listening to.
Oh, good.
The Lowe's, Lanier and Vanessa.
Good.
And Miss May, of course.
Yeah. Miss May better be listening.
No, but
I know she's listening.
I know she's listening.
Yeah.
These neighbors are special, and we appreciate them.
And I know you're a special neighbor to everybody. One thing I know about you, you probably didn't know I know, that one of your role models when you first started entertaining was Gene Autry.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people probably don't realize that, but he and Roy Rogers, they coined the phrase singing cowboy. I mean, they were the ones that started it
all. They were the ones that started. There were some before, believe it or not. I heard the story. I don't know if Gene told me. I got to know Gene a little bit, and I met him and everything. But they were calling in those early movies before Gene, John Wayne was doing some westerns. They were calling him Singing Sandy.
I remember that. He couldn't sing a lick.
and they had a joke about that between he and Gene, because they both I think they both did movies for Republic movies. So I think it's Gene that told John that if. If he'd have been a singer, it'd have never happened.
You know, I could see you out in your boat, in the singing Cajun, out there, you know, wrestling alligators and catching all that stuff. You know, I wonder why they never did do that for you. That would have been perfect for you.
For a promo all you're done.
No, just for a 30-minute hour show.
Yeah. They probably No, well, we won't get into that, but I don't think I'd have fit less than the alligators.
Being one of the more interesting characters, but yet you have known so many of them, and there are so many people that reached out and beyond where they started. And one of them, I remember, Porter Wagner, when mm-hmm. he had his show, which mm-hmm. was syndicated, mm-hmm. He brought on a girl from Sevierville, Tennessee.
That's right.
Dolly Parton. And they still play those every once in a while yeah. when they were started. And yeah. that was an interesting
that
twosome.
RFD channel out of Branson showing Porter Wagner's show maybe on Sunday night along with Hee Haw. And mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you ever have much conversation with Porter? And were you ever on his show?
Yeah.
Because I figured you were.
I did several, yeah. I did several. And we toured a lot together. We got to know each other real well. Dolly claims that the first opera show she ever did, I think it had to be a Friday night show. I don't remember. People say, why don't you remember? I said, she didn't look like, at the time, it didn't look like she did then. But she was a kid. She mm-hmm. came over and I had two songs to do. And she claimed that I gave one of my songs, she brought it up to me that she wouldn't be able to be on because time was running out. She wouldn't, she was scheduled, but she mm-hmm. was. So I said, well, don't you do, take one. I've already been on, do my part, the next song, you do yours, and I won't do mine. She claims I said that, and I
bet you did.
And I don't remember that.
Yeah.
That was nice of her to say that.
Sometimes you just do things just out of kindness, and you don't even think anything about it.
Yeah, and she always credited me with that, even in Playboy magazine, so that was pretty nice. She had a story that one time. Mm-hmm. No picture, no, just a story. Uh-huh. But anyhow, she continues to being an unbelievably good person. She's a good-hearted person.
She is, and you think of all the things that she's done for her community and for this state and for education,
yeah,
wherever.
She keeps on.
She's number one. Yeah. I mean, and a lot of her projects that are big money makers, that money goes directly into her
That's
private funds that she takes care of.
You know, I'll say this without thinking one time I said this. Her and Ricky Skaggs did Cry, Cry, Darling. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, that was two big ones. And people get the wrong impression.
I wonder why.
But they were two big artists.
Yes,
you know,
they were.
I correct that afterwards. And then she did it on her own one time. She asked me some days, she said, I want to do a favor for you because of you helping me when mm-hmm. I was a kid. And so she did Cry, Cry, Darling. That was very, very nice.
Now, she wrote one song that turned out to be one of the best sellers of all time. And it's I'll Always Love You.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. And
supposedly she sung that song for Porter Wagner.
Yeah.
After they had split up, got mad at each other, or whatever happened.
I did a lot of shows with him when we would travel together, and I did shows with him. She's always just such a lady. We did a tour out west even. All the way to California, she was just always be a lady. A great, great, great credit to Tennessee.
Who was the entertainer or entertainers that were the most fun to work with? I know there's always some that just kind of stand out that when you go on, have such a big time with them.
Just for fun, one of the most fun to watch do a show. I've driven hundreds of miles out of my way in Canada to watch Grandpa Jones.
Oh, my God.
You talk about
he
funny.
He was hilarious.
He was funny off stage, too, you know. Yeah. Oh, he was funny. He was a wonderful guy. And Tex Ritter, the movie cowboy, was a fun guy to be on. He was a character in his own way. He had a great sense of humor.
I love
but
to hear
Grandpa
him
was, I miss him more than anybody. We used to have rooms side by side, a dressing room at the opera. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times he'd be coming off and he'd throw something in German. He'd been in the service in Germany mm-hmm. and learned a lot of words. And I didn't know what he'd say, what he was saying. And, of course, I'd answer him in Cajun French, and he didn't know what I was saying. They would just go our way without knowing what each other said.
Yeah, I've watched the Opry, and it seems to be there are so many shows that come on television and on the radio that you know there's a lot of preparation for each artist that comes out.
Uh-huh.
It seems like the Grand Ole Opry, the talent is always there no matter what, and it seems a little bit more relaxed and laid back than a lot of the other shows. Do you feel that way when you go on stage?
I've been there so long, that might be one reason, unless I got a problem. That's why it's been so successful, and too, it was spontaneous, you mm-hmm. know, and relaxed. Mm-hmm. So that played a big part, I guess. When you work at something too long, it becomes either mechanical or phony.
But yours is not that way.
Well, mine is just throw it out there, and I hope you like it. You know, the Cajun music is up-tempo, and mm-hmm. I try to do it bilingual. So sometimes I forget and don't explain, like Big Mamou, I do French and English. Mm-hmm. And I think about that later. I know those people are wondering, because there are a lot of people that are not familiar with us older acts that comes there now, you know, mm-hmm. and through the years. Mm-hmm. And I know some of them say, what in the world was he saying, you know? And I'm singing, because the song is like that. It's bilingual.
We're going to take a quick break. How do you say that in French? We're going to take a quick break.
Okay. I'll say it in French, and then mm-hmm. I'll translate. Okay. On va arrêter pour un petit bout de temps. We're going to stop for a little while.
You know, I meant to say that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In English, like I did. Yeah.
You're listening to a Best of the Truman Show with today's guest, Jimmy C. Newman.
With the blue.
Ascend Federal Credit Union knows that prevention is the strongest defense you have against identity theft. Help protect yourself from identity theft by taking part in Ascend's Shred Day from 9 to 11 a.m. Saturday, August 20th. Bring documents to be shredded to the parking lot of Ascend's Victory Station Financial Center at 4051 Franklin Road in Murfreesboro. Please limit items you bring to no more than two small boxes. No newspaper or cardboard will be accepted. Sign up for e-statements and register for a chance to win a personal shredder to be given away August 22nd. Experience personal financial service that aims higher. Ascend Federal Credit Union. Raising possibilities. No purchase necessary to register or win. Registration forms will be available inside the Murfreesboro Victory Station, Clark Boulevard, and Church Street Financial Centers until August 20th. Ascend Federal Credit Union employees, officials, and any of their family members are not eligible to enter the drawing. Ascend is federally insured by the NCUA. Membership is limited.
Play it again, sports!
Your football headquarters.
If you play youth football, we've got the best deals in town. This is Scott with a reminder to all Mustang, Blue Raider, and City League youth football players to come in for the name brand pants, helmets, pads, and more at Play It Again Sports on North Thompson Lane.
Did you know a vehicle you buy from Stan McNabb Chevrolet, Cadillac, Buick, GMC, and Stan McNabb Jeep, Dodge, Chrysler in Tullahoma, and even Stan McNabb Ford in Lewisburg, and a vehicle you buy from another dealership, they may look alike, but the truth is, they're very different. Only the new or pre-owned vehicle from Stan McNabb has oil changes and tires for life at no additional charge. Check it out at stanmcnabb.com. See dealer for complete details.
Now more of the Truman Show with Truman Jones on WGNS AM and FM.
In this best of airing of the Truman Show, the guest is Mr. Jimmy C. Newman.
Jimmy, this has been an absolute pleasure. You are one of the nicest people that I've ever met, and of course, the most talented I've ever met, and that I've had as a friend. And I've been friends of some of the people, but I know that Cry Cry Darling that we were just talking about, mm-hmm. Ronnie Millsaps has just recorded that.
He just recorded it. It'll be out on the 26th on a new CD called Country Again, mm-hmm. I think.
So Do you kind of like when other people record your songs? Is that kind of like a compliment?
That's what I was going to say.
Of course, yours is always better. We know that.
One of the greatest compliments that you can get is someone recording something you've created or helped create. You know? Yeah, it's great.
Well, I want to tell you how fortunate we are to have you here in this community. You've meant a lot to everybody here.
I try not to bother anybody, but it's been a great place to live. It's home for me, and I really miss the sheriff I used to know there here in Rutherford County. But anyhow, as Caden would say, I hear you really relapsed good now.
Oh, I have relapsed good. How close? Is that good?
Oh, it's getting more better.
Getting more better.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, and I want you back on again.
Okay. Well,
I know it's hard to get you off the farm, and I know May probably needs you.
You've been missing farmed if you think it's hard to get any excuse will get me off the farm.
And I want to say, May, thank you very much for letting him come and be on with us today.
I want to say hi to Jackie, too, while we're talking.
Okay. Jackie, Jimmy C. says hey.
That's the sheriff's wife we're talking about, the sheriff's wife.
See you tomorrow, and we have Bud Rakes on tomorrow from Smyrna, and that ought to be an interesting show, and thank you so much.
Enjoyed it. Merci beaucoup, as we say in Cajun French. Thank you very much.
I've heard that. I've heard that in movies before.
Yeah, you ever heard the manuals use it too, eh, manual, in the days of the country store over there in the... Where is it?
Milton.
Yeah.
Yeah, Abe Manuel.
Yeah.
And you used to go out there and eat some.
Yeah.
I did. I used to go out there quite a bit.
They have a very, very popular restaurant.
It is an extremely popular.
Yeah, and
why don't you and I start a restaurant? We'll start a Cajun restaurant.
Oh, boy.
I know. We could have entertainment. I know where we can get somebody.
Okay. I'll get made a furnish the recipes, but yeah. you're going to run it.
We'll get Janice Jernigan to do. We'll let May and Janice do the recipes. Okay. We'll see you tomorrow.
Now, Truman mentioned that Bud Rakes would be on tomorrow. Tomorrow will be a best-of presentation of Larry Stewart. Larry Stewart will be tomorrow's guest, but we will replay the Bud Rakes interview that Truman did with Mr. Rakes, the former principal at Smyrna High School, coming up this Friday. That is The Truman Show on WGNS Talk Radio.
This is your Good Neighbor Network, WGNS Murfreesboro, WETVLP Murfreesboro, W263AI Murfreesboro, and W270AF Murfreesboro.